وسيد المرسلين صاحب السكينة المدفون بالمدينة أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين الغرر الميامين، سيما بقية الله في الأراضين وحجته على الخلائق أجمعين، سيدنا وإمام زماننا وصاحب نعمتنا وولي أمرنا مهدي هذه الأمة وطاووس أهل الجنة الحجة ابن الحسن العسكري فداه أرواح العالمين. قال الله الحكيم في محكم كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. When we were created, we never signed a consent form. We were never consulted. We didn't have a part in the decision-making process. We were never asked about the type of family we would like to be born in. We never had a choice with regards to our lineage. We were never given a sketch of how we would like to look. These decisions were made for us by an all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient creator, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we didn't exercise any choice in that process. And that means that right now, if we didn't have a choice back then, we definitely don't have a choice now. We can't ever go back and change anything in that past. However, our future, our destiny, our ultimate destination is well within our reach. My destiny, your destiny, is being shaped right now, right as we speak. You have full control. As I said, you didn't have control as to what shape eyebrows you would like to have when you were born, but you have full control as to how your destiny should be shaped. You have the ability right now, as I'm speaking to you, to shape your destiny. And as I explained last night, time is running out. I know it's not a pleasant thing to be reminding everyone of, but the fact of the matter is that the commander of the faithful says to us, يَبْنَ آدَمْ أَنْفَاسُكَ خُطَاكَ إِلَىٰ أَجَلِكَ. Every breath we take, every time we inhale, every time we exhale, we are getting a step closer to our death. We are getting a step closer to our grave, where we will be buried 6 feet under. We're growing older, and we're getting closer to that final destiny. Time is running out, as I explained last night. But the good news is that we have full control as to how we would like our destiny to be shaped. We have full control as to whether we will go into paradise where there is eternal heavenly bliss, nothing but pure pleasure. Or, alternatively, there is no middle ground here, there is no gray area, it's either heaven or hell, where there is nothing but eternal misery in the fires of hell, where the one with the least amount of punishment, according to our traditions, the one with the least amount of punishment is a man who is wearing saddles made of fire from which his brain is boiling and he thinks that he's with the greatest amount of pain, whereas in fact he's the one with the least amount of punishment and pain. We have a choice. You are not compelled. There is no compulsion in religion. لا إكراه في الدين. You will never be taken into paradise forcefully. And yes, you will never be taken into hell forcefully. You will make that decision for yourself. Of course, you're not going to like it at the end. You will regret it at the end. But it is the result, the direct consequence of your own actions, of your own decisions that you're making right now and tomorrow and the day after, and during these blessed 30 days and 30 nights in which we are given an opportunity to change course. We're given a chance to review our track record. We're given a chance to look at our present life and to think about the future. We think about our financial future. We think about our family's future. We think about our superannuation. We think about our retirement. We think about everything that has to do with the future. But unfortunately, most of the time, we fail to think about what follows our retirement, about what follows myself creating a family, about what follows all those golden days and the time when I die. Now, also, as we explained last night, we are outnumbered, my friends. We are surrounded with all sorts of enemies, all sorts of adversaries, all sorts of different beings that are trying to get us. The Arab poet says, "Nafsi wa shaytani wa dunyan wal hawa kayfa al khalaf wa kulluhum a'da'i." He says, there is my egotistic desires, the inner forces that are pushing me towards sin. Wa shaytani, there is the devil that has been designated to try and get me to fall into the trap of vice by the head devil, by the shaitan. So there is the inner push, there is the outer pull, there are the temptations that are surrounding us, there are these pictures, the billboards, the magazines, the internet, satellite, all sorts of different temptations, illicit temptations that are drawing us towards themselves, and there is this world. كيف الخلاف وكلهم أعدائي. We are frankly outnumbered, my friends. I'm just one weak being, and when I say weak, I'm talking about my weakness in combating these adversaries. We really are weak. Of course, that's no excuse, but we're weak. And we have all these external enemies, these internal pushes, urges, that are trying to get us. كيف الخلاف وكلهم أعدائي. And the only way to defeat this wild beast that I talked about last night is to contain it, it's to tame it, and it's to suppress it. You do not tame a wild beast by feeding it, because listen to me carefully, that is exactly like trying to put out a fire. Imagine, you're in a house, a fire erupts, and it's about to engulf the whole house, but because you don't have access to water, there's nothing you can do. The only thing that you do is pick up a little more fuel and pour it into the fire to put it out. That's no way to put out a fire. When you feed your wild beast, and I'm talking about the temptations and the desires within ourselves, you are only helping the fire to grow bigger and bigger until it gets to a stage where it's out of control. Until you can't do anything about it. Until no water can put it out either. And because we as human beings have a tendency to want more and more, it's just like when you drink salt water, when you drink seawater. The more you drink, the more you want. Which is why a beautiful tradition of Ahlul Bayt by the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in that tradition, لا يملا عين ابن ادم الا التراب. The only thing that is able to fill the eyes, in other words, quench our thirst and to satisfy our desires, the only thing that can do that is soil. Which means that the only time we will settle down is when they pour the dirt over our dead corpse. That's when we stop trying to satisfy these desires. لا يملا عين ابن ادم الا التراب. The more we get, the more we want. It's not about how much we need, it's about these desires, this fire that needs to consume everything surrounding it. If I had $1 billion, which is a huge amount of money that I, along with my 50 generations, will find it difficult to spend, I would still want more, wouldn't I? Now, why is it that you see the list of the top richest men in the world? Recently Forbes magazine published its latest list. You have this list of the richest people in the world. Why is it that these people keep getting richer and richer every year? He used to be number 9 last year. This year he's number 7. He used to be number 3. This year he's number 2. Why is it that they want more even though they had they have hundreds of millions and billions of dollars? Because لا يملو عين ابن آدم إلا التراب. It's not about how much they need, they just want more. If we had, according to the tradition of the Prophet of Islam, if we had a whole valley of gold, we could also use another valley, couldn't we? If you were offered a little more, would you say, no, I've got enough, thank you? We always want more. It's like drinking salt water. I believe it was the Romans who used to go and feast like party animals. And they would eat so much. And after they'd had enough, they obviously wanted more, but they couldn't accommodate all the food in their stomach. So what they would do, they would go and induce vomiting. They would force themselves, they would stick their fingers into their mouth and induce vomiting. They would vomit all the food that they've just had so that they could make more room for the food and go back and feast like animals over again. And that's the reality of everyone, subhanAllah. We might never do that. But the greed that exists inside each and every one of us is capable of doing things that are much worse than that. It is said that Muawiyah, about whom the Prophet of Islam had said, لا أشبع الله له بطنا. Because you all know that the Prophet once was in his house. He called upon Muawiyah to come. The servant went up to Muawiyah, he then came back and said, Muawiyah is too busy eating, sorry, he can't come now. So the Prophet said, I need him to come. So the messenger goes back, calls upon Muawiyah. Again he says that, tell the Prophet that I'm too busy eating. So the Prophet sends the messenger again, he goes back the third time, comes back saying that Muawiyah is too busy eating, he can't come. So the Prophet says, لا أشبع الله له بطنا. May his stomach never be filled, may he never be satisfied from food. Now when the Prophet made this prayer, Muawiyah got to a stage where he would eat and eat and eat, and I'm not exaggerating here, traditions tell us that he used to eat an entire sheep. And after he'd finished the sheep, he would just fall on his back and say, Wallah, ma kafaftu li'annani qad shabat. Ma kafaftu an shabat wa innama qad malalt. I didn't stop eating because I've reached satiety, because I'm fed up. No, I stopped eating because I'm simply bored of eating. La yamlu 'ayna ibn adam illa at-tarab. He's bored, his jaw probably starts to hurt as much as he's, you know, because of he's chewed the food so long and so much. And the fact is that this is within each and every one of us. SubhanAllah, there's a tradition where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Musa, he says, Ya Musa, I have placed five things in five places. But people seek those things in other places. I have placed glory in my obedience. Yet people seek glory by obeying other men, by obeying superior authorities, for example. I have told you, you want to be glorious. Do you want to be a aziz? Come and obey me and you will become aziz. Man khaf Allah, أخاف الله منه كل شيء. He who fears Allah, everything else will fear him. ومن لم يخف الله أخافه الله من كل شيء. And he who does not fear Allah will be fearful of every other thing. You want glory? Come to me. Then Allah says that I have placed knowledge and wisdom in starvation, where people seek knowledge and wisdom with satiety and satisfaction. In other words, if you want knowledge, if you really want to learn, then you have to learn to be hungry. You can't be full and learn. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّا يَجِدُونَ. They can't find glory by obeying other men. They can't find knowledge in satiety and with filled stomachs. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have placed rest in the hereafter, but people seek rest in this world. But they'll never find rest in this world. They'll always be running after their desires. They'll always be drinking more and more salt water. And that, of course, will never give them rest. What it will do is that it'll draw them back. It's an addictive feeling. It'll always draw, push them, pull them back to the sea, because they'll need to drink even more until they get bored of eating and drinking. Until they feel fed up and so need to induce vomiting so that they could go back and drink and eat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I placed these five things in here. You go over there, you'll never find them. And if you look at our egos, if you look at the nafs, you will find that in fact we possess all these qualities, albeit in different ways. I read a really interesting article once, which was circulating all over the internet. And the author made some very good points. The author said, the paradox of our time, it's a very interesting article, he says the paradox of our time is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. We have wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We have more, we buy more but we enjoy less. We have more degrees but less sense. We have more experts but more problems. We have more medicine but less wellness. We have added years to life but not life to years. We've gone all the way to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor and say, Salaamu Alaikum Ramadan Kareem. We've gone all the way to the moon and back, but we can't go to the mosque, for example, and to join everyone in prayer. We have created computers that are capable of storing an immense amount of information and create copies, multiple copies of documents, but we have less communication. We have bigger homes, but smaller families. We have two income families, but more divorce. So, we think we have more conveniences, but less time to enjoy those conveniences. This is the time, the author of the article continues to say, this is the time of overweight bodies, this is the time of one night stands, this is the time of disposable diapers, throwaway morality, and the time of pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. Fact is, this world in which we live looks very nice from the outside. The cosmetic side is deliberately meant to make it attractive. The plastic surgery makes this world look like a 22-year-old, whereas the biological clock inside is ticking at 35 years. It looks very good on the outside, but inside it's really, really ugly. And it's at this time, my friends, that we need divine intervention. It's at this time that we need to stop after 11 months of eating, feasting, of pursuing relentlessly our desires and temptations. All of a sudden we need to come to a full stop. Halt everything. And we start to refocus our attention. And we start that by observing a fast. We fast and therefore accept the invitation of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the modern man, let me say something that may seem a bit controversial, but I'll say it anyway. The modern man needs God much more than the primitive man. Why is that? Well, basically speaking, the primitive man used to have certain fetishes, certain things that he worshipped. For example, he used to worship rocks, trees, heavenly objects, stars, planets. The modern man, however, has thousands more fetishes. The modern man doesn't prostrate before a rock, perhaps, but a modern man certainly worships thousands of more deities and fetishes. The modern man, instead of worshipping a heavenly object such as a star, worships not a real star, but a fake star, a movie star, a pop star, a music star, a football star. And instead of worshipping trees, a modern man worships, God forbid, and forgive me for being explicit here, this is the reality of our world. There are people in this world who worship genital organs. What they do is that they get a woman to stand in the middle of the square, they strip her off of her clothes, and they worship the genitals of that woman. Now, this is in the East. In the West, alhamdulillah, we don't have that, but we certainly have worshipping of the genitals in a very different way. It's not going to be in the form of prostration, but there is one hell of a lot of devotion, because that's the meaning of worship, isn't it? In essence, worship is devotion. Whatever you devote your life to, if you ask someone, why are you running around? Why do you go to work? Why do you get up in the morning? What gets you up? What puts you to sleep? Why do you do the things you do? If he does it so that he could get his hands on whatever it is that's out there, then he worships that thing. Which is why we have traditions that state, مَنْ اسْتَمَعَ إِلَىٰ نَافِقٍ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ. He who listens to a speaker has worshipped the subject of the speech. فَإِذَا كَانَ النَّاطِقُ يَنْطِقْ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ. If the speaker is talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the listener is worshipping Allah. But if the speaker talks about anything other than Allah, then you're worshipping those other fetishes. You listen to music. Is the person who's singing talking about God? Even if he was talking about God, he'd be using the incorrect means to reach God. But in most cases, it's not. In most cases, it's either about violence, it's about sex, and it's about, you know, moral problems that they have in their societies. You listen to that, you're worshipping those fetishes. In fact, it gets so bad, my friends. There are people that worship rats. For God's sake, rats. They worship these rats and then they just put their hands on the rat's urine and then they put it on their foreheads and, you know, all sorts of disgusting things because they feel that this is their God that they need to worship. Now, we don't have that over here in this part of the world, but what we do have is that people worshiping the greenback dollar. It's not rats, it's the greenback dollar. At least the rat is a living creature that moves and, you know, it looks like a miraculous kind of thing. The greenback dollar is nothing but a dead piece of paper. Yet people do devote. Listen, I'm not saying prostration. Don't say I never do that. Alhamdulillah, you don't. But don't someone think that because I don't prostrate, if I don't pray towards the greenback dollar note, then I don't worship it. No, devotion is worship. It gets so bad, let me give you just one last example, that there was a rock group recently which was banned in the United States. It was banned in the United States of America. So it just gives you an idea of how bad it was, how morally corrupt it was. Now this rock group was banned because of some of the things that they used to do on stage. And I'll mention just one example. They used to get, na'udhu billah, we seek refuge in the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this type of mentality. But I'm talking about a beast that is untamed and unrestricted. And before I tell you the example, let me ask you a question. What is the single most powerful weapon of mass destruction in the world? What is it? Nuclear weapons? No, there's something that's even more powerful than that. Biological weapons? Chemical weapons? No. It's the human mind. Because it's the human mind that creates the chemical weapons and the biological weapons and nuclear weapons. It's the human mind when unleashed, and I mean this in a negative manner, when it's unrestricted, when it doesn't have the guidance of Allah and its prophets and messengers, it's the human mind that gets to such a stage that a rock group gets banned in the United States of America. They used to get up on the stage, they used to bring a dead cow and commit sexual intercourse with the dead cow, which has had its skin removed, and its head cut. And this is done live on stage. My friend, when it comes to quenching our urges and our thirst, and when it comes to satisfying our desires and temptations, a human being would do anything and everything if there is no religion, there is no code of conduct, when there is no guidance, when there is no hope, when there is no fear, when there is no no promise for the acts to be punishable or rewardable in the day of judgment. We are capable of doing anything. In fact, there's a tradition that says, كل نفس أضمرت ما أظهر فرعون. Every soul has concealed what Fir'aun exposed. What did Fir'aun expose? He said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your almighty Lord. Every single soul deep down within ourselves, that is a tendency that we all have. We all have this tendency. So the beast is inside each and every one of us. What we need to do is to try and restrict it. Nobody's saying you should kill the beast. The beast is there for a reason. And the beast, if tamed, can act in a very good manner, getting you to reach your destiny as planned for by the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, النفس الأمارة, the persistently commanding soul can turn into a nafs al-lawwama, the soul that always tells you if you commit a sin, it's this soul that then tells you, you shouldn't have done that. This was wrong. That lie was wrong. That deception was wrong. You shouldn't have looked at that site. Once you tame it, you could really harness the true power of the soul. And it's the first night of this great blessed month. And it was in fact on this very day, it was a Friday just before the beginning of the month of Ramadan, when the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ascended the pulpit in his mosque, and he addressed the entire Muslim nation by saying, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْكُمْ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ بالبركة والرحمة والمغفرة شهر هو عند الله أعظم الشهور وأيامه أعظم الأيام ولياليه أعظم الليالي وساعاته أعظم الساعات هو شهر دعيتم فيه إلى ضيافة الله وكنتم فيه من أهل كرامة الله أنفاسكم فيه تسبيح ونومكم فيه عبادة وعملكم فيه مقبول ودعاؤكم فيه مستجاب. The Prophet said that the month, the blessed month of Allah has approached you. He addresses the entire nation and says, this month has approached you. It is a month that is greater in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than all the other months. Its days are greater than the other days. Its nights are greater than the other nights. Its hours are greater than the other hours. It's a month in which you are invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His banquet. Not only that, not only are you invited, but you are made guests of honor. وَكُنْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ أَحْلِ كَرَامَةِ اللَّهِ. It's not any normal invitation. It's a specific invitation addressed to you. Well, you are given an invitation card posted out in the mail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it the Holy Quran and says, you are invited to come to this feast, to come to this banquet. And then not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in this month, your breath will be rewarded as if it were words of glorification of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if you're talking to Allah, it's as if you're glorifying the Almighty Allah. أَنْفَاسُكُمْ فِيهِ تَسْبِيحِ. You go through this normal process of breathing and you are rewarded in this month. وَنَوْمُكُمْ فِيهِ عِبَادَةً. If you sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will consider that to be an act of worship. Not only that, Allah doesn't stop there, but then He says that your actions will be accepted. There is never, listen to me carefully my friends, there is never a guarantee that our actions will be accepted anywhere else except the month of Ramadan. What you do will be readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and immediately rewarded. وَدُعَاءُكُمْ فِيهِ مَقْبُولٌ. Your supplications, your prayers are also, دُعَاءُكُمْ فِيهِ مُسْتَجَابٌ. They are answered. You know, we have a tradition that says, أَخْفَى اللَّهُ ثَلَاثًا فِي ثَلَاثٍ. Allah has concealed three things in three things. أَخْفَى قَبُولَ الْأَعْمَالِ بَيْنَ الْأَعْمَالِ. أَخْفَى لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ بَيْنَ الْلَيَالِي. وَأَخْفَى وَلِيَّهُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah has hidden the acceptance of the a'mal among the other a'mal. You'll never know whether your prayer was just accepted or not, except in the month of Ramadan. You'll never know the night of Qadr from among the other nights. We know that it's one of the three nights, but we're not quite sure. And Allah has also concealed His beloved wali, His servant, and the imam of our time, Imam al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi, salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi wa sallam, among the people. So it's in this month, my friends, that we should try and attain the final desired fruit of fasting. Some people fast, but all they get is maybe a couple of kilos lost. maybe not. Because one author said that, let's face it, in the month of Ramadan, fat people get fatter, thin people get thinner. But there are people who fast and all they get is thirst, especially in this hot, humid weather. And all they get is just fatigue. The commander of the faithful says, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الظَّمَأْ وَالْجُوعِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا التَّعَبْ وَالسَّهَرْ. There are people who fast, but all they get in return is just fatigue, thirst, and starvation. We don't want to be one of those. We want to be of the people who will receive the final product of fasting, which is what? We mentioned the verse in the beginning of the lecture. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may be pious. We want piety, my friends. We want to be able to tame the beast. And the beast can be tamed. The Prophet of Islam says, it says in one tradition, يَا مَعَاشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَةِ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَصُمْ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءَ. The Prophet says, O youthful people. He's talking about the youth. He says, if you can get married, then get married. That is the first thing, that is the best thing you can do. But if you cannot get married for whatever reason, then fast. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءَ. Because fasting suppresses your desires. It tames the beast. And it gives you piety only if you do it the right way. Because like I said, there were people who fast but get nothing in the end. I'll just conclude with a short story. It's a favorite of mine. There was a friend of my father's, a friend of mine also, a man who was in charge of overseeing the slaughter of animals, the proper slaughter of animals in one of the European countries for an Islamic country. So he was there in this post. One day, a representative of a major international corporation which deals in poultry and in the export, import business in meat, in the meat industry, came up to him and said, look, we have this huge shipment of meat that was rejected from one of the Southeast Asian countries, and we need to, you know, we need your approval to transport this shipment into one of the Islamic countries. He said, that's fine, that's okay, but I will have to come and oversee the process of slaughtering these animals, whether, it is compatible with the Islamic rulings. So they said, oh, well, no, see, that's the problem. They are not compatible with your ruling, and all we want you to do is sign this little piece of paper. It's not going to make a difference. We'll even give you a little tip. He said, I can't do that. They said, all right, we'll give you $100,000. $100,000. Imagine that. He said, I am not going to sell my heaven. I'm not going to sell paradise for $100,000. They said, we'll give you $200,000. The business proposition just got better, better, and more tempting and more lucrative. $200, $300, $400, until they reached a number of $1 million. All you have to do is sign a little document that says this meat is halal and we will hand over a check for $1 million. He says to my father that when I was told that, I thought of myself as being in a state of judgment. Which way am I going to swing? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? Eventually I said, no, I'm not going to do it. They said, if you don't do it, we'll kill you. On one side, there is a lucrative, tempting $1 million check. On the other, there is death. Now, if it was me, I'd probably say, oh, okay, I'll save a soul. I'll do it so that, you know, it would be a form of taqiyya. Give me the $1 million check and take your document. But he said to my father that I saw myself in the same position as Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. He said, I looked back and I thought, this is heaven, this is hell. Am I going to take this? Am I going to risk my life? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Eventually I said, no, it's not going to be that easy. I'm not going to give in to your threats, nor to your lucrative offers. He said that they left me, they kept on threatening me day after day, sending me threatening letters and notes, until one day they came back to me and said, you know what, you weren't willing to do it for $1 million, we got someone else to do it for $50,000. Your fasting in this month will strengthen your ability to say no when you have to say no, and to say yes when you have to say yes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that ability, to help us fast this month as best as we possibly can. And I conclude with this dua. Allahumma rabba shahri ramadan alladhi anzalta fihi al-Qur'an Read with me. اللهم رب شهر رمضان الذي أنزلت فيه القرآن وكتبت على عبادك فيه الصيام اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وارزقني حج بيتك الحرام في عامي هذا وفي كل عام واغفر لي تلك الذنوب العظام التي لا يغفرها إلا أنت يا رحمن هذا والحمد لله رب العالمين وصل اللهم على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.